If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another wonderful episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and joining me as always is my guy, Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. We're both super hot, trying to ride the wave. Feeling good.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And we were super hot until today, but we'll get to that in a little bit. All right. So today, Diz, I wanted to talk about being wary of a line that seems too good to be true. We may have even talked about this before, but I think it's good to kind of revisit some of these things and give good examples of that have happened of late. Can you think of any lines recently that seem too good to be true?
I can. I can actually think of a future one that we can talk through. I really can't think of one that I've taken recently that that didn't work out, but it obviously happens. The one I'm thinking about, Patty, is Bears +7 against the Rams week 1. I think 7 points is a lot. Now, don't get me wrong, the Rams are a much better team. But with 93% of the public on the LA Rams, it seems like +7 is too good to be true. What are your thoughts on that?
So with that one, I agree. I think it's too good to be true for the Bears because, and I'll tell you why. First off, I think that line's going to move a tremendous amount before week 1 because Matt Nagy is continuously saying Dalton's going to start, blah, blah, blah. But Justin Fields keeps getting more and more reps and more time and more excitement. And with Matt Nagy coaching for his job, we might see Justin Fields. But if Dalton truly is starting and he plays the full game, I don't know that the Bears can cover 7.
You're saying 7's too low?
I'm saying the Bears might lose by more than 7.
See, I look at it the other way, and I just see 93% of the public. I find it hard to believe that Vegas is going to lose that easy, but I guess to each their own. That's just my example. I really like the Bears +7, especially the audience doesn't know yet, but I'm a huge teaser when it comes to NFL. Getting that line to like 13 or 14, maybe even 15 if you do an 8-point teaser. So that's a line that's almost too good to be true for me. Patty, you got anything?
So in your case, you're more so fading the public, which a lot of times with these too good to be true lines, that's what you do. But
yeah.
The thing that came to mind for me was on, so Monday night, if you recall, Diz, Monday night, one of my best bets was Rockies Padres under 7.5 first 5 innings, right?
Oh, I took it with you, bub. I know where you're going with this.
So we hit that one, and that was great, and it seemed too good to be true, like 7.5 first 5, that's a lot of runs. But the difference there is we did our research, and we agreed with the under 7.5 on that. But I saw so many people take the under blindly. And then actually the very next day, same run line, it actually went over the 7.5. So what I want to urge people to do is sometimes if you see a line that seems too good to be true, it probably is. But I'm okay with taking that line if you can find good data to back up your reasoning, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you because I think a lot of the times when you refer to a line that's too good to be true, you're talking about something that you see for the first time, you haven't done research on it. Like, I feel like if you do the research and find like a loophole or something that isn't being accounted for, that shouldn't be considered too good to be true. You're just strictly talking about like, holy shit, this line seems amazing, but then you don't do the research and realize why. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yes. And for example, another example, so a few months back, the Cubs and Reds were playing, and the over-under for the game was like 7.5, which is super low for two. This was before the Cubs unloaded everybody. So it was super low for like a Cubs-Reds game, especially in a hitter-friendly ballpark. And everyone was like, oh, hammer the over, hammer the over. But I was looking around, and there was like 15-mile-per-hour winds blowing in that game, and the under hit easily. But I guarantee you there was a ton of people that just blindly jumped on the over 7.5 because it was two hot offenses in a hitter-friendly ballpark.
Yeah, and I think, did you take the under in that game, Patty, or were you just aware not to take the over?
I did take the under in that game, yes.
So is that a situation where you benefited heavily because, like, everyone was taking the over, or is it just something you noticed?
I did benefit, probably. I probably got good value on it and everything. But I don't necessarily do it from a value perspective. I just want to caution the listeners and the bettors to make sure you do your research, even if you feel like you're on the right side of things, and even if you think a bet's like too good to be true and you jump on it thinking that it's going to move one way or the other.
I will say, can I just add, Patty, in that specific instance, like when you saw it, was your gut feeling like, oh, hammer the over because these are two good hitting teams in a hitter-friendly ballpark, and then you did the research and went against your gut?
Yes, 100%. When I saw it was 7.5, I was like, oh, what the heck? It just seemed wrong, right? So I knew immediately that I had to do some research. There was something that I was missing that the public wasn't.
So I guess that's kind of our disagreement here. Obviously, you cashed in, and, like, I respect the hell out of that, but it's really tough for me to go against my first gut feeling. Now, if I see a good, like, a too-good-to-be-true bet like we're talking about, and the research goes against it, I don't want to, like, second-guess my gut necessarily. So, like, my thing is I'm just not going to take the bet, but I'm not going to bet on the other outcome because I don't want to second-guess myself. Mm-hmm. I'm just necessarily not taking the bet that I originally felt because I saw the research and saw why, like, it was too good to be true, as opposed to, like, going against my gut. So, like, if my research backs up that, holy shit, I should be taking this, then I'll take it all the way. But in that specific case, I wouldn't have taken the under, not because I hate unders, but because it goes against my gut. So if the over were to hit, it would be like, damn it, why did I go against my gut? So, like, I think both sides of the perspective are interesting, and they're both good points. Do the research and just kind of either stick to your gut or go with the research, but at least do the research to figure out, like, why does that line look so tasty?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing for me is I'm a very heavily stats-based gambler. I dig deep. I try to get every single angle. I look for different things. And I try to go into every single game with a unbiased starting opinion, right? Now, that's not possible. Everyone has their biases. Everyone thinks immediately who they think should win, who should lose, blah, blah, blah. But I also always assume that I'm wrong initially. I don't think I'm smarter than the public. I don't think I'm smarter than Vegas. So I typically tend to lean towards the stats as opposed to my gut. But I think you're right. I think we both have good cases here.
Yeah, absolutely. Just something to notice, you know, or even hate to keep going. We've kind of been talking for a long time about this, but something too is like see what the line does. If you notice something, like for me, I always look at the NFL lines on Tuesdays after the last Monday night game. There is so much that line can change from Tuesday to Sunday, especially with like injuries, not knowing who's going to play. So like, even if you have a gut feeling on Tuesday, like do your research and figure out, like, do I need to capitalize on this gut feeling if the research backs it up right now? Or is it one where it's like, I need to wait to see if the line gets better or worse? So yeah, I think it's a great topic because, like, look at these bets, do the research, figure out how much time you have before the event actually happens, and kind of, you know, figure it out. Because if you take something like that and you don't realize something that's obvious, it's going to be more than just a loss.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on. Let's review our best bets for Monday. Diz, I know how you did, but why don't you share with the people what you did?
3-0. Very hot right now. Patty is as well. I think he's number two in the Capper's tourney, so shout out Patty Parlays. Hashtag that's my host. But yeah, 3-0. Everything hit. Everything hit pretty easy. The only one that I was scared about, which Patty already touched on, was the under we took together. But no, 3-0. I will say, though, I had an off-day best bet that I believe Patty tweeted, or our Twitter account tweeted, that didn't hit. I had a Martingale, $5 to win $5, Jordan Spieth to shoot even par or under, which is 71 or less, and he shot a 72, which is really, really just hurts because he just signed a deal with FanDuel. That's why they did the boost. I thought there was no way he wasn't going to hit that. First round of a FedEx Cup playoff. He's fighting to get into the Ryder Cup. I thought he was going to go low. I'm very surprised he shot 72. So that one hurts, but you bet your sweet ass I got a $10 Martingale in my best bets tonight. So looking to stay hot.
Absolutely. And as is mentioned, I also went 3-0 on Monday. As a show, we went 6-0 on Monday. We may be the hottest gambling show out there. Diz hasn't lost a best bet. Well, before today, he hadn't lost a best bet since like August 6th. So that's almost 2 weeks of going without losing a best bet.
And I'm still down big in the best bet competition.
You are. But
somebody
generally,
get this man a fire extinguisher.
Well, and you know, it's kind of unfair because I usually have three best bets. Sometimes you only have two, but you know, it is what it is. In the best bets competition, I am up 8.9 units overall, and Diz is up 6.85 units. And as Diz did mention as well, I am second place currently in the Capper's tourney. It's a fun tourney. I'm hoping to walk away with a dub in that one. There's some great bettors, gamblers in there. If you're not following along, you probably should. You'll probably get some free money on that. But let's get into our best bets tonight. Diz, I already had two of them lost. Or no, sorry. I've had two already complete. I had one win, one loss. The one that lost was Astros first five minus half run versus the Royals, which the Astros ended up winning full game by three runs, so that kind of hurts. And then I had Rays first five minus one and a half versus the Orioles, and that did come home for your boy. So, Diz, I'm 1-1 on the night. I got one more best bet for you. And I shared this with you, and I don't know if you're going with me or not, but I'm going Brewers minus one and a half versus the Cardinals, and I'll tell you why. So, right-hander Woodruff is pitching for the Brewers. He has a 2.18 ERA this season with a 2.99 expected. And he has a 2.5 ERA without the tack. Now, lefty John Lester is pitching for the Cardinals. He has a 5.32 ERA with a 5.20 expected and a 6.97 ERA without the spider tack. So heavy, heavy pitching favorite goes to the Brewers here. And then the Cardinals are 26th in the league against right-hander pitches. Brewers are 12th in the league against lefties. So I think this one's a slam dunk. Finished with another positive winning day. Let's go Brewers minus one and a half versus the Cardinals.
I love it, and I'm going to use it. Bet together, win together. You are the hottest gambler on earth right now. Hey, before I keep going, can we get a Craig check? I heard a noise. Either someone joined or Craig left.
Craig is still here. Rankle. So, well, we'll talk about this off air, but yeah, no one's here. We're good. Everything's good to go.
All righty. Sorry about that. Brewers minus one and a half. Everything Patty said. I only had two, and I was thinking if I'm going to make some ground, or I at least should have three bets. And I took Patty's Brewers minus one and a half. I absolutely loved it. And then I got a Martingale. It is a $10 Martingale because I lost my first round. It was boosted from minus 110 to plus 140, which is nuts. $10 to win 14. It was the Yankees to win and their starting pitcher to throw a strikeout in the first inning. I forget it. It's Jameson Taillon. That's what
it
is. Jameson Taillon to throw a strikeout or more in the first inning and the Yankees to win. Yankees are red hot, and it's a game where I can watch the first inning and keep it moving. So,
wait, are we not going to count the best bet from
trying to think about my third best bet?
Spieth? I mean, you can add a fourth, but I'm just saying we're definitely counting you a lost unit on.
Damn it, I had another one. I had another one.
Were you going to go with Castellanos?
No. I think that's a good talking point, but I don't think the value is good enough. I'm going to get a hoot out of that anyways if he hits a homer. I don't want to bet on it. But, Pat, go ahead and tell them. I'm going to figure out what my last bet was.
Okay. First off, I definitely took – it's not a best bet, but I definitely put in a bet for Castellanos to hit a homer tonight. And the reason why is because it is the 1 year – actually, it might be 2 years.
No, it's one.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so it is the 1 year anniversary of Castellanos hitting a deep fly to left field. I don't know if I'll ever be on this microphone again. I'm sorry to everyone I offended. If you don't remember, Sunshine did a little take on that, a little rendition of that, if you will. But tonight is the 1 year anniversary of Castellanos just ruining trying to be a heartfelt moment. Castellanos is that dude. You can't do anything special with him around because he will just hit a homer on you. So I definitely took Castellanos to hit a home run tonight at +270, but it is not a best bet.
You told me that, and I was digging for a best bet, and I thought it would kind of be a reach. You know, I might just bet it anyways, but I don't want it to be a best bet.
Yep.
But I did not have another bet. I must be aging horribly. I thought I had three, but I only have two. Maybe I was thinking about that Spieth bet. So already 0-1 if we count the Spieth bet, but still feeling good about the other two. And, really hoping that Martingale hits. I've never been to that third round $20 territory in a Martingale. That's where things kind of start to get scary. So really hoping that one's going to hit. I believe that game starts at 7. So going to be watching that first inning.
Yeah. Absolutely, and the FanDuel's been offering a lot of get a 1+ strikeout in the first inning, like kind of boosts, and people love them, and it's pretty electric. So, but I do think you have a good bet there. I think you'll be all right. But Hail Mary parlay of the day, it's dead. Like I said, I had the Astros first five in there. They already happened. They already lost. So. I did tweet it out earlier at @sportsbetbydumb. So, and that's both on Twitter and Instagram. So on Thursdays in particular, when there's a lot of early baseball games, you want to get on there early before like those first games start, and you can see the Hail Mary parlay of the day on there. But, I will definitely be back with a full slate of baseball games that happen after the podcast starts. So, be on the lookout for that tomorrow. Diz, anything you want to get off your chest before we call it a day?
Just something to look at this weekend for preseason football. pardon me. Mitch Trubisky starting for the Bills at Soldier Field against the Bears. I haven't looked at the line. I don't know the money line value. I don't know the spread. I was originally thinking like Bills by a million because Trubisky's just got a revenge game. But I think it's more of a revenge game for the Bears defense. So I'd be curious to know what that line is. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the value is. I'm just saying something to look at, especially before we go into another Football Friday. Are we going to have the full guest slate again, Patty?
Absolutely. And I was just going to mention that too. I said, you know, if you want to find that out and look at that, and you can report back to us for Football Friday. That would probably be ideal.
Sure thing.
I thought for sure you were going to go with something about the overs and the unders in the NFL preseason, but you did not go that way.
I kind of already talked about it, didn't I?
I think so. That's what I was thinking as well. So, all right. Well, then. Thank you all for listening. Like we mentioned, tomorrow is another loaded Football Friday. Tell your friends, let us know some talking points or anything you want to hear. We appreciate you all for listening, and we will see you all tomorrow.